I'm excited this morning at what I'm going to share. It's a word that the Lord gave to me early this morning. And I want to emphasize that the teachings, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what God is bringing out is designed to do two things. It's designed for our maturity to grow, but secondly, in that growth, these teachings are designed also to help you to teach others as well. They're not designed, you know, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you don't light a candle and then put a cover over it. You know, fire is not designed to be covered, but it's designed to illuminate. And I believe that's what God is designing us to be, is helping to illuminate the hearts and minds of others through the words that he gives us. Because just bear in mind, you know, these teachings, they're not, I don't just sit around and, you know, well, Lord, what subject can I teach? You know, but I wait on the Lord and I ask God, God, give me your thoughts and your insights. And so the things that we share are from heaven. And so today's topic, and with the printer wouldn't work this morning. I don't know why. It's all Old Faithful. It never has a problem with it. But so I thought, okay, Lord, I don't even have a copy. So I'm recording this. If you do have notes, without God, it is vanity. Without God, it is vanity. Without God, life is vanity. And so let's understand what vanity is. That the root word is vain. What's vain? Empty, useless, of no consequence. Vanity. Without God, life is useless. Without God, life, there's no consequence to it. Because in the end, it's nothing. I got some scriptures to share. But I'm going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And I like the way that the Lord organizes things and organizes our thoughts. 1 Chronicles 22, and I'm going to start at verse 6. And then he, or David, called for Solomon his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord of the God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house under the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Isn't that an interesting thought that God is sharing? He's not, quote unquote, punishing David. He's just letting David know the facts of life. You know? And he says, behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, for he shall be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build a house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord. Sounds like what he says to Joshua. Then thou shalt prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. It sounds exactly like what he said to Joshua. To have courage. David had already won the battles. David had already fought. And God was saying, you shed a lot of blood. You've had a lot of great wars. But he's telling them, prosper. He says, make your way prosperous. Obey my word. Have courage. Well, we know David was a man of courage. You know, he faced Goliath, you know, no bones about that, you know, because he trusted God. But God said, be strong and of good courage. And that was meaning to continue in his word, to obey his word. Now, so he gave charge. He was given charge to Solomon. And then Psalms 127, beginning at verse 1, and this is a Psalm of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. This is from the NLT. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning till late at night, anxiously working for food and eat. For God gives you rest as to his loved ones. There are useless things in this world, and that is for us. And as we're going to go down into this, deeper into this, this word, it's useless to try to do things on your own. Good morning. How many of you, you've noticed that things go so much easier when God is in it? Things get put together so much better when God is in it. But things seem to fall apart and don't go right when you're going on your own ideas and not consulting the Lord. You know, how many times have you entered into something and you've wondered, Lord, what do I do? And you get an idea, you get a thought, but you don't do that thought. You do a second thought. And then when you've gone through that, you say to yourself, I should have done what I first thought. Anybody? Usually for us, the first thought is that the Holy Spirit. He's always with us. Jesus said he'll guide us into all truth. Psalms 33, beginning at verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the habitations of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. and considers all their works. I seen that and I went, huh. He makes everybody's heart the same. Nobody has a better heart than another one. But it's what you do with it. And that's what it says right here. He fashions their hearts alike, then he considers all their works. So nobody has an advantage over another person. That's spiritually. It's like the Bible says that God has given to every man the measure of faith in Romans. So nobody is given more faith than another. But as we are standing here, we're all, for instance, we're all given muscles, right? Some people have bigger muscles than others. Why? They exercise those. Some people, when it comes to faith, the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. So God's concern is the development of our faith. Nobody is given more faith than another. Otherwise, God is a respecter of persons. It's what you do with that faith. It's your exercising of that faith. So he fashions their hearts alike. He considers their work. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. We seen that in the past year with this pandemic. You know, we didn't suffer. You know, some of us prospered. You know, did well in that time. Psalms 147, verse 10. He delights not in the strength of the horses. He takes not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. God is sharing his perspective. Jeremiah 9, beginning at verse 23. Thus says the Lord God, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in those things I delight, says the Lord. What do we see in this world around us? We see a lot of people of their own accord thinking that they're somebody. You know, I find it interesting that many advertisements in our media are using movie stars. But I remember listening to Dr. Laura Schlesinger many years ago. She says, don't listen to these movie stars. She said, think about it. All they are mindless people who memorize what somebody else has written. They don't think for themselves. They're just repeating and acting what other people have written. That's mindless. So why would we pay heed to people who make a living in repeating what other people write instead of people who hear the Spirit of God? Where's our priorities? But these people's faces are flashed, you know, in the media and television and movies all over, so people think they want to be like them. They want to dress like them. They're just actors. We don't want to follow actors. We want to follow the real deal. Isaiah chapter 50. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys his voice, the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That was Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? And what that means, he's walking by faith. He's not afraid to walk in dark areas, but he walks by faith. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. We sing that song, "You're the light in the darkness. You're the brightness in the shadows. You are the glory that fills my soul." And then we go to a chorus part and says, "I will walk in the night. For Jesus, you turn the night to day. And I will walk in your light." And I forget the other part. But so as we walk in faith, the light shines. The Bible says, "Thy word is a light unto my path." So our prerogative is to trust. Our prerogative is to not rely upon our abilities. God wants to take your abilities, and then he wants to pour into you. I like that song that we sang, "Lord, come, Holy Spirit. We're gathered here. Come here. Come, Lord, and fill the atmosphere." Because what God wants to do is to take who you are and the way that he's designed you, and then all of the human part, you know, set it aside, bring in the spiritual part, and then have you walk in that. So you're not relying upon the natural part. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, says that he's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. And he says, and he's chosen the things that are nothing, the base things, to bring to nothing the things that are something or think they're something. And he says that no flesh can glory in his presence. So nobody can stand before God and says, "Look what I did." That isn't what it's about. And we, the Bible tells us that we're going to be given crowns, and then we'll cast our crowns before the Lamb. And we sing, there's some songs like that. We bow down and lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And the thought there is that the humble person who receives the crown, because of what has been accomplished, they go, no, it wasn't me, Lord. It was you. It was all you. You deserve this. That's humbling. To know that God wants to do great things through you. That's how he shows himself. That's how he manifests his glory through you. We read in Hebrews. Come on, Hebrews. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 4. It's a long passage what we're going to read. So if you have your Bibles there, please read along with me in this. What is God looking for? Dependency. Listen to this. I think I did this from the NLT. God's promise for entering his rest still stands. He's not pulled that promise away. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was given to them. That is the Jews, the tribes of Israel. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Some manuscripts read, they didn't combine what they heard with faith. For we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scripture where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. Verse 5. But in the other passage, it says, they will never enter into my rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this news, this good news, failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering into his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them rest, God would not have spoken about another day that is still to come. So there is a special rest. A special rest. Or a Sabbath rest, still waiting for the people of God. Verse 10. Understand what this is saying. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fail. Now, I'm going to keep reading. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the inner thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. The King James says, he that is entered into his rest has ceased from his labors. What was God looking for all along? Dependency. That meant he was looking for them to come and understand, Lord, we are unable. You see, when he was giving them charge to go in, he says, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to drive the enemies out from before you. You are going to go into cities and you're going to fight armies that are mightier than you are, but I am going to win for you. So, what did they all, or what was their prerogative? Lord, we trust you. We're going to depend on you. And so they had the word. They had the guarantee. But they failed. What did they fail at? That God told them, you're going to win. I'm going to go. But don't look at their gods. Don't consider their ways, because it'll be a snare or it'll be a hook. And so they, coming out of Egypt, all right, the children of Israel were always looking at gods. It just didn't, they just couldn't get it out of their system. When Moses went up to get the word, the laws, and he was up there for 40 days, and they thought Moses wasn't coming back, the first thing they did, they made a god. Their trust factor was very, very low. He's looking for dependency. And because of the lack of dependency, they disobeyed. And because they disobeyed, there was no place for them in rest. So the admonition to us is God's promise is still there. So we need to fear. We need to tremble so we don't fall into that same trap. Don't look at the gods. Don't look at the other religions. Don't let a snare come into your spirit to pull you. Because once it gets you, you will disobey. We can't say, no, it won't happen to me. You're fool if you say that, because the proof has been already there. Human nature, it'll happen every time. God is smarter than we are. So we depend and we rely. And just like that song about the Holy Spirit, Lord, come. We need you, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill our atmosphere. It's about you. He that has come to God has ceased from his own labor. Does that mean that we all retire from our jobs? No. What it means is we enter in with a new motivation. Lord, I'm not doing this for myself. I want to please you in everything that I do. So you are included in everything that I do. There was an old secular song, I've got a new attitude. But that's the new man. The new man has a new attitude. The new man isn't out for himself. The new man recognizes the dependency of God's presence, of God's word. And I thought it very interesting in this passage of scripture that talks about rest and it talks about obedience and it talks about entering in. And then right after that, it says, for the word of God is sharper, is alive, is sharper than a two-edged sword. I find that very interesting that it's right there tagged onto these statements. In the Old Testament, what was it that they didn't heed? The word of God. We read, what did God tell David? He says, obey, have courage to obey my commands, my statutes. In doing so, you'll succeed. You'll have good success. It never leaves. Jesus said, those who love me, keep my commands. Why do you call me Lord, he says, and not do the things that I say? We read in Matthew chapter 7, I liken a wise man unto a man who hears my words and does them. He's like a man that builds his house on a rock. So everything in our lives, in our walk, depends on God's word. Now, let's do the flip side. Those who aren't obeying God's word, what's happening in their lives? Deception? Fraud? Which is driving them into debauchery? Driving them into dehumanizing who we've been created to be? You know, and the depth of sin and evil, it never ends. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse. 10, 20 years ago, if somebody was to see what was happening today, they would go, no, that'll never happen. Somebody was telling me that their grandmother read them a prophetic book that said that there's going to come a time when men will want to be women, women will want to be men. Now, we're talking about maybe like 70, 80 years ago, or if not more. And as a young man, this guy says, that whoever wrote that is crazy. That will never happen. It can't happen. But it was a prophetic word from the Lord. And they today have to say, my grandma, that was right. God is right. So for us, we have to understand God is always right. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't get caught off guard. Whoops, I didn't think about that. Oh. He is on it, and he guarantees us that he's on it. And so therefore, we read these scriptures, we trust in the Lord. He delivers us. We trust in the Lord. He watches over us. We trust in the Lord. We'll not suffer in times of famine. So my question to you is, where is the level of your trust? Ponder that. Get with God on that for yourselves. Because you are a generation that is going to, we're the last generation. So, you know, pretty soon the age that we're in is going to be over. Things are coming to a head. So we've got to be able to present the truth. And as we read, the truth, listen closely, the truth always challenges. The truth always challenges you. The truth always challenges the deceit. The truth always challenges the half-truths. That's why Jesus said, the world's going to hate you. They hated me. Because who was he? He was the truth, the life, and the way. Who do we represent? The truth, the life, and the way. The way. Not a way. Not a truth. Not a life. The truth. The way. And the life. Period. We must be convinced of that. And when we become so convinced of that, that there's no other options, then, you know, we're well on our way to representing and being a challenge to those. And that's why, you know, there are people who hold to half-truths and not complete revelation. And so it's tough sometimes, isn't it? But that doesn't mean that we back away. That doesn't mean that we have to change. We just be who we are. And we just, but the thing is we allow him to come through us, to work through us. We cease from the way that we used to do things and we live in a new and living way. Father, we bless you and we thank you, Lord, for your challenge to us to not give in to vanity, to not give in to the lackadaisical manner of life, but that we serve you with vigor, and we serve you with our strength and our mind, with all that we have. Lord, I ask that everyone who heard these words, Lord, that you would make that a concrete, set it solidly, so that they and others can be a blessing and help others. Lord, there's so many that need help. Use us for your glory, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.